Depois, olha, eu
Amen. Amen. Now we are going to talk about what I feel to be most important is why is everybody feeling like we're in the end times and the Lord is coming anytime, and people are saying, you know, are they having dreams and visions and all of these things that are going on, even myself. But I'm going to tell you why I believe and know that we're in the end times, because I want it to be factual, okay? Jesus says something in the book of Matthew, and then it's repeated, I believe, again in the book of Luke. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. A lot of people don't know what that means. But what it actually means is the same way it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be that same scenario at your time. Okay? So we need to, as a body of Christ, look at what was going on in the days of Noah. Okay? What was the warning? Was there a specific time? When the flood happened, who was saved? All of these things are going to be the exact same scenario. This is why the scripture tells us that a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Because what you're doing is you're seeing God repeat the exact same thing that he did in the time of Noah. There was a specific time frame given on Noah's judgment. The flood didn't just happen at any time that God wanted it to. God said, this is the day that it will, or this is the year that it will happen. Noah, you have 120 years. In 120 years, judgment will come. I'm not going to continue dealing with man. Judgment is going to come in 120 years. So Noah did exactly what the Lord said to do. Noah, he built the ark, waited out the 120 years. Now, Noah knew when the 120 years hits, then that's it, right? So Noah knew this is the time was running out. God knew the time was running out. It had been 120 years since he told him. Noah knew he was 480 when God told him. And then 120 years passed, and now here comes the flood. Now, the other thing was that Noah turned 600 years old when the flood happened. So he was 480, he turned 600, and then the flood happens, okay? Now, once the flood happens, 8 people get saved. That means Noah and his 7 family members get saved. Same scenario. Christ is the head of this family. The churches are the family. 1 plus the 7 get saved. So it's going to be the same as it was in the day of Noah. When the trouble comes into the world, it will not just be, okay, the rapture happened and then there's only trouble in America. He said it's going to be a worldwide flood. And when he takes the church, it's going to be worldwide trouble. Now, it may have been hard for us to understand the whole world being in trouble at one time before 2020. But now we see that it is very much possible for someone to control the entire world. Okay, I know how to block people. Okay, so now that we see the scenario in the world and we see what time we're living in, the reason you're in trouble is not because of the present circumstances. The reason you're in trouble is because time has run out.
Yeah.
You understand? Time has run out. We're still, we have about a half a month left or a month, about a month left for the 120 years to play out. March 14 is the end of the 120 years. Today is the 17th. We say, well, it's the second month, the 17th day. But it's the Gregorian calendar, so I'm not putting a lot of weight on that. But I am putting a lot of weight on the fact that this is the 6,000th year. You're past the 6,000th year. So Noah was 600. You're past the 6,000th year. That happened in 2017. Okay. The next thing is, now that we entered the 120th year, and now we're moving into the last month of the 120th year, and everything's kind of going crazy. You're in trouble because time has run out.
Yeah.
Okay? Did God know all this was coming? Yes. Did God know he would have to take his church out at a certain time? Yes. Okay? So now what are we looking at now in the news? The craziest thing for me right now is that Iran is threatening Israel with war. And the threat is because Iran has military establishments in Syria. And Israel's like, that's too close for us for you to be setting up missile launch in Syria when it's so close to us. So Israel struck Iran's military locations in Syria, destroying them. Iran is threatening to attack Israel. Israel is preparing for war. Okay? Now, someone may ask, well, if Israel goes to war with Iran, Israel would destroy Iran. Stop. Because just like, you know, me growing up, if my little brother gets in a fight, you better make sure he doesn't have a big brother, okay? Israel's big brother right now, and their number one, I mean, Iran's big brother right now, and number one ally is Russia. Ah, that kind of plays into the perfect scenario of Ezekiel chapter 38, because Persia is Iran. And since Persia is Iran, that means when the scripture says Magog and Persia are going to come against Israel, and God has said that it's going to happen, then it is going to happen. So the exact scenario that Ezekiel chapter 38 talks about is happening right before our eyes in Israel. Okay? So we have to look out. China is an ally to Israel. Okay, on this I looked it up. It said home history, modern history of Europe, Russia, main allies are India, China, Belarus, I don't know where that is, Iran, which is Persia, Syria is also an ally to Russia. So Magog is friends with two of the countries that Israel is having problems with. Okay? So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 38. And I have this Bible here. Got it. Things falling off me, Pastor. Man. I got it. Ezekiel chapter 38. Because I want you guys to see what we're looking at in the coming days, okay? Magog will attack Israel. United States is not, you can leave it there on the floor. United States is not a close enough ally to, you can leave it right there on the floor, Mr. Mayor. United States is not a big enough ally right now that it wants to protect Israel. A matter of fact, Pastor Ben was just telling me, United States hasn't even made any attempts to communicate with Israel. First president that hasn't, and the scripture says that when this happens, that God is the one that has to protect Israel. So God already knew in the 6,000, past the 6,000th year, in the 120th year, right before the rapture, Israel will not have America as an ally to protect them. Because we got demons back in our White House, right? So let's read here. Let's start at one here. Okay, check this out. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against God of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech Tubal, prophesy against them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Okay, I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaw, bring you out with your whole army, your horses and your horsemen fully armed, great hordes of, and with large and small shields, all brandishing swords. Persia, what's Persia? Iran, Magog is Russia, okay? Persia, Kush, Put, I don't know what nation, which one of the countries in Africa, because Kush is Africa, rather it's Libya or Egypt, but one of those are going to join in with them, Put. And it says, we'll be with them with shields and helmets, also Gomer with all its troops, and Bet Tergoma, which is, okay, so you got Libya's already involved in it, and you got Turkey, who is also having problems with Israel right now, okay? So we're watching this whole scenario take place, but it's in a different state than it's ever been, because now Israel has no ally to go to, because the United States doesn't even respect Israel right now, okay? So who is God? We know who Magog is. What is God? God is, now this took quite a bit of studying, because when you read this scripture that's in the book of Amos, let's go to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, I'll read it 1 to 3. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is what the sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing a swarm of locusts after the king's share had been harvested, just as the second crop was coming up when they had stripped the land clean. I cried out, sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He is so small. Now, let me tell you exactly what this says in a minute, because it says, so the Lord relented, and this will not happen, the Lord said. So what had happened was that this God sent an army of enemies against Israel to destroy Israel. The Bible says God sent a swarm of locusts, or that the locusts attacked Israel. Locusts in the scripture is just a example of demons, okay? It's like when you're talking about, so you say the locusts swarmed the land, you say now the demons were swarming the land. So this army was trying to destroy Israel. Were they demons at the time? No, but God had sent other nations a military army, and the locusts were swarming the land, and they were about to destroy all of Israel. Amos says, God, if Jacob is too small to deal with this, you're going to destroy all of them if you don't stop it. So God says, okay, stop the war against, and God called it off. And so Israel was saved, the remnant. But in the Septuagint, it says that Gog was the king over those locusts. So what does Gog mean? Gog is a demon king. So a demon king is controlling an army of demons to come up and to start these type of wars. Okay. Now, this was what was going on. Amos prays, and God decides he's not going to do it. So who is Gog of Magog? It's a demon king that is going to be over the control of Russia at the time and give them the idea that they can attack Israel and win and take all of their resources. Okay? When this demon king decides to do this, and listen what the scripture says. It says God has already planned that they're going to do it. But when they do it, God says he's going to put hooks in their mouth and he's going to destroy them. And God is going to rescue Israel from the Magog war. A matter of fact, we know it's not the end of time because they say men will be collecting bones and regularly employed to clean up the land. So it's not the end of time. After Magog and Persia attacks Israel, people will be employed to help clean up the dead bodies off the land. A matter of fact, they're going to take the weapons from those countries and use them for fuel for the next 7 years. So it's not the last war, and it's not the Armageddon war, okay? But it is a war that is coming. And we know that no one else is coming to Israel's assistance except for God, okay? And it's right in front of our face right now. What, two or three days ago, Russia hit those sites in Syria, destroying Iran's weapons that they had set up in Syria. So it was Barack Obama who gave them the ability to set. You have Russia and Iran setting up military bases in Syria. I'm talking about they're trying to help fight against the, what's that? That used to be in Syria, the big problem that they had. But anyway, the whole big problem in Syria that they were having, they were saying, oh, Russia and Iran are going to help you fight against them in Russia, right? In Syria. So they let them move in there, and they're still there. Why are you still there? The threat is gone. Trump got rid of the threat, so why are they there, and why is Iran bringing military weapons to Syria? So Israel said, okay, enough. And they blew up the sites, okay? But now that puts Russia in the play, because now you're messing with Persia, who we have an agreement with oil, and China's saying, hey, we got an agreement with oil with Iran. You can't just go to war against them, right? Our country is depending on their oil to survive. So they have allies. And Israel, I know that Netanyahu is smart. He knows that he does not have America right now. Okay, so they're practicing military operations right now, getting prepared. Proverbs 30, chapter 27 says that the locusts have no king. But let's read Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. You guys there? The fifth angel sounded his trumpet. Now, this is the fifth angel of the trumpet. So this is toward the end of the tribulation. Listen to this. It says the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, And I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Who's the star? A fallen angel, right? And this he's given the key to the shaft of the abyss. He's given the key to hell, to Hades. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose up. It rose up from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky was darkened. The smoke and the abyss, and it says, and out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth and were given power, that of a scorpion of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass or the earth or any plants or trees, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their forehead. Who has the seal of God on their forehead? The 144,000. But that's it. Understand? And it says they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like a crown of gold, and their faces resemble human faces. So remember, John is trying to tell you what he's seeing. These locusts look like human beings, okay? But they've come up on the earth from the abyss. This is toward the end of the tribulation. Okay, let's go to, okay. It says their hair was like the hair of a woman, and their teeth was like a lion's teeth. They had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing to battle. They had tails and that sting like scorpions, and in their tail they had the power to torment people for 5 months. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name is called Abaddon, which is the destroyer, or Apollyon, which is the Greek name for Lucifer. This is why you get Apollo 13. They're always worshiping, okay? So here, the locusts have a king over them. And who's the king? Lucifer. Who has the key to the abyss that lets the locusts out to come up on the earth? Lucifer. He brings these locusts on the earth, and they're killing and destroying men as they're on the earth. Now, understand this. The locusts do have a king. So you have a war that's coming at the beginning of the tribulation, which is the Magog war, which Gog is the king of the locusts, is going to start that war. You have a war here, or you have trouble here that's happening at the end of the tribulation, and you have a king of the locusts, and they're coming upon the earth. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 20, let's go there. After the 1,000-year millennium, it says, when the 1,000 years, in 20 verse 7, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for the battle, in number. They are like the sands of the sea. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So listen, it says here, Gog and Magog together with them to battle. So this king of these demons, once again, at the end of the thousand-year millennium, they come upon the surface of the earth one more time and surround the people of God, and God destroys them. But you have three wars that are going to happen. One, Russia, Gog, which is a demon king, is going to persuade them to go to war against Israel. And they're going to do it. And God says, don't worry, I already prophesied that you're going to do it. I'm the one that prophesied you're going to do it. But when you do, I'm going to put hooks in your mouth and drag you out. And they'll be collecting your bones for the next 7 months. Okay? So that war is going to happen, and Israel is going to be protected after the church leaves. Second war, major war that Gog is going to start is to call what? What does Zechariah chapter 14 says? Zechariah chapter 14 says, all nations will come against the nation of Israel. So we know that's not the Magog war, right? Chapter 14, it says, and the day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured and ransacked. Okay, half of the city will go into exile. The rest of the people will not be taken from the city. The Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. So when he comes back, he's actually setting foot on the Mount of Olives. This is not the rapture. This is not coming down to a cloud calling you up. So there is a specific time that God is coming back, and he says his foot will touch the Mount of Olives. Okay, and it says it will split in two, east from the east to the west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and the other half moving south. You will flee by the mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fled in from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come and all of his holy ones with him. So when Jesus comes back, there's two things that are separate from the rapture. He's coming back and he's setting foot on the earth. The rapture says he's coming down to a cloud and he's calling us up. So you can't say that that's the same thing. And when he comes back, it says he's coming back with all of his holy saints with him. All of them? Yes. Three harvests of righteous people are coming back with an army of angels with Jesus. So, this is you say, wow, because you believe it, Pastor Ben. You know what most Christians think? Oh, that's just Bible talk. That's just Bible talk. You know, it's locusts coming upon the sky, on the earth, killing men, taking the mark of the beast, changing your DNA, all this stuff, you know. But they fail to realize, just as they forget about the flood, that Israel wasn't always a nation, that it disappeared for 2,520 years, and that it came back into the world exactly the year that God said it would. And they got Jerusalem 19 years later, just as 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8 said it would, 19 years later. So God that's telling you about the end product is also the God that told you what was going to happen up until this very day. And it's all been correct. Okay? So you're living in the end times. Iran and Israel are not getting along, and their best friend is Magog. And Iran is Persia. And it's already in the Bible. So why in this very important time in history is Persia and Magog just happen to be best friends? Because God has already told you what's going to happen. So he's coming up on the earth. Now, I want us to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, because Ecclesiastes is a warning. It is, as I've been reading it ever since God gave it to me. And the more I read it, I go, Lord, you're telling people bad times are coming. Get ready. Stop listening to everybody. This is in the scripture. Stop listening to everybody and every teacher. It even says many books are written. Stop reading every book in the scripture. So he says that much studying is not good for you. You understand? He says the shepherd has already spoken. So read the book that God wants you to read and stop following all kinds of different things. So let's read through it. And I want you to see this is a warning. What's happening in Israel is a warning. What's happening in the world is a warning. What God puts in this chapter, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, is absolutely incredible. Let's look at this, okay? First it tells, and it just comes out of nowhere too, because the rest of the book is just talking about, life is vain, it's meaningless. Whatever you do is absolutely means nothing, okay? Basically the whole book. Then it gets to 12 and it says, and by the way, you need to remember the God of your youth, because when this time comes, you better understand what you're supposed to be doing, okay? So it says here, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the day of trouble comes and the year approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. He's saying, remember God before this happens. And the clouds return after the rain. Wait a minute. After the rain, the clouds are supposed to, and the sun's supposed to come up. He said, no. After it rains, then more clouds are coming. So he says, some horrible times are coming upon the earth. Then he says, when the clouds return after the rain, when the keeper of the house trembles and the strong man stoops, when grinders cease because they are few. Two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. So the grinders are leaving. He says there's few of them left. And those looking through the window grow dim. When the door to the streets are closed, and the sound of the grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of the heights and dangers of the street. When the almond tree is blossomed, locusts shall cover the land. That's what it says. It says in English, in our translation, the grasshopper is going to drag their feet. Right. In the Hebrew, it says the locust will cover the land. And the locust, and it says, and the grasshoppers drags himself along. When the locust, what locust? The demons. The demons will swarm the land, and desire no longer is steer. I'm going to read it in Hebrew. It says, Ki halet ha adam al bait olam. And what does that mean? Then man is going to go to his eternal home. When the trouble in the world is going on, somebody's leaving up and going to his eternal home. Listen to this. Then man goes to his eternal home, or Bet Olam, and mourners go about the street. In the Hebrew, it says the mourners will saviv, which means that they're going to be wandering around not knowing what to do in confusion. Saviv, saviv means they're just going back and forth in circles. Okay? It's an emphasis on the fact that they have no place to go and nothing to run to. You understand? So it says, and the mourners will go about the streets. Remember, before the silver cord is severed. What's the silver cord? What is silver in the Bible? The material, bronze is judgment. Gold is kings for royalty. Silver, what do you get for silver? You get blood. Because if you give me silver, I'll give you Christ. You understand? You give me silver, I'll give you Joseph. So every time silver is in the Bible, it's pertaining to blood. When they built the tabernacle, he said, place it on silver sockets because the whole tabernacle is based upon a blood sacrifice. You understand? God is saying the silver cord is going to be cut. You better remember God before he gives birth to his child out of this world. And your time right now is for repentance is now. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken before the pitcher is shattered at the spring. So now what's the golden bowl? In Zechariah, I think 4:2, he says, what do you see? I see a menorah lamp of gold. And what do you see? Elf. I see a golden bowl on each side, and the bowl is pouring into the menorah. So the anointing from the Holy Spirit is being poured into the church, but he says that's going to be broken, and the cord's going to be cut, and the earth is going to be without what? No Holy Spirit, no connection to Jesus. The streets are dark. People are wandering around because they don't know what to do. The righteous man has gone to his eternal home. And look at this. And it says, or the wheel is broken at the wheel, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. And the Spirit, remember at Pentecost, what did God do? He gave the world what? His Holy Spirit. It says here, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. So now when the Holy Spirit leaves, guess what? The church is leaving. Eleazar, take us home. Is that what we talked about on Sunday? The Holy Spirit's whole reason for being here is to find a bride for Jesus Christ. So when God takes back his Spirit, the Spirit of God no longer lives in the world. The beginning of this is God saying, remember me, because this time is coming. And you're only about a month left on a 120-year count. You're only about a month left. I have no other scenarios to go to. It's 6,000 years, 120, seven churches are in the world. The eighth one is up there, and he's going to open the door. Almond tree is 404, which means that the almond tree, which means righteousness, but it's 404, which means the almond tree is connected to the door. It's God who is going to stand at the door and call up the church. And God is saying, remember me right now before it happens. Yeah. Let's continue because this is almost done. Okay. The wheel is broken and spirit. And it said, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher, who is that? Jesus? Searched to find just the right words. And what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like gold. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. Let me explain what a goad is. When you got an animal that you got to move him along, so you use the goad. You're like, this is the way, that's a frog. It's like I'm moving you along. So he said, my word is trying to move you along because you're acting like an animal. And he said his word is nailed and it's solid like nails to a board. His word is solid.
Yeah.
And he's saying, you better remember me because I'm telling you what's about to happen. The righteous man is going to go to his eternal home. I'm going to take back my spirit. And you're going to be wandering around the streets not knowing what to do. Okay, so this is the warning that God is giving you in the 120th year before the rapture happens. Let's read some more. The word of the wise are like gold, and they're collected sayings like a firmly embedded nail, giving the one shepherd, given by who? The one shepherd. I'm going to stop again. The words of the wise are like gold. They're pronging you along, telling you, follow God. They're embedded like nails into a board. They're strong. They're solid. They were given by the one shepherd. Who is that? Jesus. The word of God came from him. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end. You hear that?
Yeah.
Be warned. Because people make books all the time. People reading stuff and just reading stuff and just reading stuff. They read everything but the Bible. 25 Christian psychological books, and you don't know the word yet. How to Deal with Life by Joel Osteen. You know what I mean? We've got to say, maybe the Bible can give me better advice about life than all the many books.
Yeah.
Okay? Someone was sending me, you should try all these other books. I said, I've already read them. But one thing I did before I read the Apocrypha, Deuteronomy, Enoch, I said, I don't know the 66 yet. So if I don't know the Bible yet, why would I read something that is outside of the Bible? Well, it confirms the Bible. People were telling me. I said, yeah, but I don't know the Bible yet. So how am I going to know that it confirms the Bible unless I first read the one that Jesus wrote? And so we got to, the scripture saying, stop reading everything. You understand? Many books are written, but God's word is firm. Okay?
Yeah.
Of making many books, there's no end. Much studying wearies the body. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. You hear that? What's the whole duty of man? Keep his commandments. Not your one Savior, always saved. Keep his commandments. Live for God. Guess what? This is what the Lord told me. And I was like, God, you are so smart. I was like, I needed that 8 months ago. He says, someone was saying, well, we're saved by grace. He said, there's no scripture that says you're saved by grace. He says, the scripture says you're saved by grace through faith. So what is faith? Consistent faithfulness to God. Emuna in Hebrew doesn't mean, oh, I believe in something I don't see. That's the Greek term of faith. The Hebrew term for faith is emuna, which means complete loyalty and faithfulness to someone. Okay? So God says, you're saved by grace because you did nothing to get it, but through your loyalty, you'll be saved. Once you accept it, all right, good. Now, let's see how you live it, because I want to see your emuna. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's pistos. That's Greek. That means, Thomas, I want you to believe before you see. That's pistos. God says, my faith is emuna. Where's your faithfulness? Every time you're around somebody that's drinking, you're drinking. Where's your faithfulness to say, I'm sorry, I'm a born again Christian. No, thanks. Where's your faithfulness? You understand? So this is where we're at in this time period. Because if you don't understand the time period, you'll do what you want, thinking that, you know, you still have plenty of time. But when the day comes, remember, the rapture don't take a week. At some time, I believe, before this 120th year's up, everything is going to change like that. Yeah. And you'll either be in heaven or you'll be here wandering around. It will not be any situation that you can change. Right. You can't run and say, Jesus, come back. Come back and say, I too am a Christian. You can't say that because it's happened. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is trying to tell us something. Remember God, but remember him now. Serve him now. God said, you are saved by grace through faith. You know that was the scripture? I looked it up. I said, no. I looked it up, Pastor. It says you are saved by grace through faith. It does not say you are just saved by grace. So that's the, that means you got to add some imuna to your grace so you can be saved. So who are you loyal to? I'm loyal to God. And I'm going to remember him while I can still go to the store. I'm going to remember him while there's still toilet paper in the supermarket. You know what I mean? I'm not going to wait till there's a big tragedy going on in the world for me to start acting like a Christian. Right. And so now here we are. This is what's going to happen. The church will leave. This is why I was trying to show you guys on Sunday, Thessalonians. Because it says the Antichrist will not come until there is first what? An apostasia. Which just means what? A departure. That means somebody's got to leave before the tribulation begins. Before the Antichrist comes, there has to be a departure. Apostasy does not mean you left your religion. Apostasy just means there's been a departure. Okay, somebody left. That falls in line with the rest of scripture because it says after the apostasy, after there's a departure, then the Antichrist will come. Okay, and in every scripture, in Revelation chapter 4, the church goes up, they're already in heaven. Then by chapter 6, now you see the Antichrist coming to the world. Okay, so all the time in scripture, there is someone leaving, and then after the church leaves, then the Antichrist will come, okay? It's not going to change. Stop reading so many books. God does not have three rapture scenarios. Like, I might do it like this, or I might do it like that. There's one scenario. There will be a seven-year tribulation. The church will leave before the tribulation begins. When the church leaves, then you're going to start seeing, the world will start seeing this, darkness. Rains, the clouds come after the rain. No, the sun comes after the rain. No, you're going to get more clouds and more clouds. And so now is the time to serve God. Now is the time. And I'm trying to tell you, you're not close to the last days. You're in the last days. What is the numerical value for the new thing that they got for people? Patent number 060606. So if you took the thing, right, you already took something with 666 on it already. And they're not even forcing you. They're not even forcing you. So you mean the world is going to be in a situation where they're forced to take it? You understand? Because they can deceive you to take it. And so this is the time we're living in. And this is the great warning from God. Serve God now while you can. If you want somebody to get saved, you got to do it in the daytime, because in the nighttime, work time is over. Meaning that the daytime is while the church is here. When the tribulation comes, you running around. You don't want to be even running around. But let me tell you something. Preaching the gospel is going to be a whole lot harder when the church leaves. I guarantee you, won't be no street preaching when the church leaves. There'll be some cover up, hide in the dark, find a basic. So God is saying, do it now. Remember God now. Show faithfulness now. Each and every one of us are going to get the opportunity to sin. Where's your faithfulness? Here you are, Pastor, and you get an opportunity to cheat on your wife. Where's your faithfulness? No thanks. I got faithfulness. I really love you. I know you love your wife? Keep her commandments. What's her commandment? I'm your only wife, and you better have any other wife before me. Otherwise, you know what I mean? But that's called emuna. That means when it comes time for me to make a decision, I make the proper decision. I don't make a decision that proves to the one I say I love that I don't love them. You are saved by grace through faith. Be in relationship with God and be ready to go. Study your word. Read your word. This keeps you in relationship, okay? Spend time with God. Stay in relationship. Because when the day comes, the day will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, and we'll be gone. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Is this from Deborah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is. Deborah. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you all for everything. See you all in the clouds.